Amen. Please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 25 and go to verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25. This is God's holy word. May we receive it as such. At the time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." As far as the reading of God's holy word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to see wondrous things out of this marvelous passage that exalts your glory, your sovereign plan and redemption. Lord, it is amazing, Lord, how great you are, and yet how much you love us because of what Christ has done. And Father, help us to understand this passage, and may we apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Saints of God, when things don't go according to plan, it's often difficult for us to thank God for those times, especially when we're in the middle of it. If we get sick, we lose our job, we get in an accident. Our first thought typically is not, "Thank you, Father, that I wrecked my car." But if you knew the mind of God, you knew the purpose of those events, that it would lead to something greater or reveal God's glory in some way, your perspective would change quite a bit. Now, when we come to our passage, Jesus has just finished rebuking this great crowd of people who turned away from him and who also turned out to be fake disciples. Jesus was condemning them for their unbelief. Now, these are some of the saddest scenes that we see in the Gospels, where all these crowds of people are beholding Christ in the flesh, hearing and seeing and receiving the ministry, receiving the blessing, of the preached word from the mouth of Christ himself. But they, instead of receiving and repenting of their sin, they walk away. After everything that Christ has given them, most of us, and I'm sure the disciples would have been discouraged by this. I mean, imagine if this, something like this were to happen. If there's hundreds and perhaps even thousands of people surrounded in church or in an auditorium or something, and they were able to hear and listen to the gospel, and yet all of them walk away rejecting and mocking the gospel that was preached. We'd be tempted to think, well, especially as a pastor, if I was giving that message, did I say something wrong? Did I need to change the message and how I presented it? Is something in me that I could have done differently to help them to respond differently? But of course, that is not how Jesus responded to the crowd walking away. Instead of being discouraged, Jesus was actually encouraged. His heart was filled with thankfulness. Now, what Jesus is going to emphasize in our passage today is the sovereignty of God, but not just the sovereign authority of the Father, but also the sovereign authority of the Son. Something that has not been disclosed to us in Matthew's gospel up to this point, at least not as clearly as what Jesus is about to say. And so he begins with a prayer of thanksgiving in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered, and I think it's helpful to understand the word answer to respond It's not as if there was a question that he is answering, but he is responding to this event of these people walking away. So out of response to that, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And so with this first point, why Jesus praises the Father, there are four reasons that I'm going to give you as to why Jesus thanks or praises the Father. And the first one being is that he thanks the Father because he knew that his Father was sovereign. He prays to the Father, giving him his title. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. That's who he is. The same heavens that declare his glory and his righteousness. The same one who counts the number of the stars and knows them all by name. The same one who opens his hand and gives life to every living thing. The one who owns the cattle of a thousand hills. The one who raises up world leaders and the one who brings down world leaders. Isaiah 40 says he brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Men, whether in power or not, who think they can run this world without any accountability, who think they can just walk this earth living and promoting godlessness and injustice without a future reckoning, have another thing coming. Because they have to be held accountable to the Lord of heaven and earth, their Creator. The sovereign Lord who holds all authority over heaven and earth says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Which leads us to our second reason why Jesus gives thanks. Jesus says, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. What things is Jesus referring to? Well, to put it short, it's the kingdom of God or the gospel. Or maybe I could put it this way. God has left them, that is this crowd of people that rejected him, God has left them in their blindness, keeping them from seeing Jesus as the Messiah. No, wait, hang on here. How can the Father judge a person for not finding something that God purposely hid from them? I mean, isn't that kind of cruel? I mean, is that like getting mad at your kid for not finding his toy when you knowingly put it in a place they can't find it? Isn't that cruel how Jesus is praising his Father for hiding the gospel from these people? Shouldn't God want everyone to be saved? These are the sort of questions that can come to our mind as we in our first reading this passage. But how quickly we can make ourselves to be the victim. Does this passage say that these people whom Jesus judged did not act according to their will? Did God reject Jesus for them? Does this passage say that they desired to believe in the gospel, but the Father rejected their belief? Were they seeking Jesus, or were they seeking a version of Jesus made in their image? We know that they were not seeking Jesus because of how they responded to the true Jesus. So the Father hid the gospel and left them in their wisdom and prudence. Now, even though Jesus calls them wise and prudent, it doesn't mean that they are in fact wise and prudent. Jesus is calling them wise and prudent in a mocking type of way. In a sarcastic sort of fashion. It's wisdom, because wisdom apart from knowing and following God isn't wisdom. It's arrogance. And foolishness. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom, but instead of fearing God, they rejected him. So what Jesus ultimately uncovers, what Jesus revealed is their heart of pride and their blindness. God has no obligation to remove their blindness. And essentially, God gave them over to their pride so that what you see is their true nature. This is what dead in sin looks like. Those who think they're on top are really at the bottom. But those who know that they are at the bottom and humble themselves before Christ is evident that the Father has revealed the gospel to them, which is the third reason Jesus offers the Father praise. Because God, His Father, reveals the gospel to babes. We mentioned this last week, so I won't go into detail. But what this means is that those who know they are dependent on God for His grace. There are those that God leaves in their sin, and then there are those that God opens their eyes to see Christ as the true Son of God. What Jesus says in verse 26 goes into our fourth reason why Jesus gives thanks to the Father. For it seemed good in your sight. It seemed good in your sight. This judgment was pleasing to you because it exposes man's foolishness and exalts your justice. Revealing the gospel to the humble was pleasing in your sight because it exalts your mercy and your grace. Both judgment and redemption glorify God because all of it is according to His good will. Now the word good could also be translated as gracious. And of course, grace, by definition, is undeserved. It's undeserved favor. No one whom the Father reveals the gospel is because they were better than anyone else who are left in their sin. All of it is because of His good, undeserved, gracious favor. If you're a Christian today, it's not by accident or by mistake. The Father sovereignly opened your eyes to see Christ. The Father graciously humbled you to see the wickedness of your sin, to see the restlessness that this world offers, and caused you to embrace the love of Christ who made an end to your sin and gives you His peace. Our Father in heaven is sovereign. He's worthy to be praised in all circumstances. Now when Jesus concludes His prayer, He doesn't stop at exalting the Father's sovereignty. What Jesus will now show us is the nature of His relationship with the Father in verse 27, which leads us to our next point, what the Father gives to the Son. You know, up to this point, Jesus has emphasized the Father quite a bit throughout the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us how we are to live for the Father's approval, not for man's approval, how we are to pray to the Father, how we are to trust in the Father and be anxious for nothing, how we are to seek the Father and to do His will. But Jesus says something very, very eye-opening. He says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." Now, all things. What are all things? All things meaning everything Jesus has just finished saying, everything Jesus just said about the Father's sovereign authority over heaven and earth is also true for Him. Everything we've just talked about the Father owning the cattle of 1,000 hills, the one who counts all the stars by name, the one who brings the nations to nothing is equally true to Jesus of Nazareth. This is an astonishing claim by our Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying is that He too is Lord of heaven and earth. You mean the one by whom all things were made and without Him nothing was made? Yep, that's Jesus. You mean the one by whom all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, as Paul says? Yes, that is Jesus Christ. The sovereign authority that the Father has given to His Son, without question, proves that He is equally God as the Father. Secondly, when Jesus says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, he's also showing his unity with the Father in everything that he does. Sometimes you may, you know, be driving around, you see a sign outside of a, you know, a restaurant or gas station or any kind of business that says, under new management. Right? And that to me tells me that if you had a bad experience, come back again because, you know, we made the changes. You know, we have a new menu, we made changes, so try us out again. We want to gain back your trust and your confidence. So, that's not what's going on here. Right? This is not, Jesus is not the new manager of the Lord, as the Lord of heaven and earth. As if the Father exercises his authority one way while the Son exercises his authority in another way. I heard a pastor say this, that Christ is exercising all of his authority exactly the way the Father would desire. There is complete and absolute unity, and this is unity that is based upon the knowledge of each other. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking as they heard these words of Jesus? That there would have been a light bulb that went on. I mean, now it makes sense why he could speak to violent storms and turn it into a beach day. Why he can cast out demons with a single word. Why he can heal the leper. Why he can give sight to the blind. Now it makes sense. Because Jesus has equal authority as the Father. He does the Father's will. He is equally sovereign as the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, notice on how this sort of repetition happens with between Jesus describing his relationship to the Father. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. That's exclusive. No one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to whom the one Son reveals. Everything we know about God is based upon what he has revealed to us in the Bible. However, no one has seen the Father face to face. Not even the angels who are surrounding his throne in heaven. They have their wings covering their eyes and their feet as they worship him. They do not see the Father face to face, but only the Son has seen the Father face to face. Which is to say, only Jesus truly knows the Father as he is. Since only Jesus truly knows the Father, he is the only one who can reveal the Father to sinners. Which leads us to our last and final point. The Son reveals the Father. Now, there are many religions, many worldviews out there that say you can find a path to God. You just need a little help. You just need some meditation, or you just need to, you know, follow these steps 1, 2, and 3. You know, it's religions such as, you know, New Age spirituality, which is, to me, I describe New Age as kind of like a junk drawer. You know, there's a little bit of everything in there. It's a mishmash. But overall, New Age spirituality says that everything is a part of God. Right? Kind of like Oprah, you're part of God, you're part of God, you're part of God. Everyone's a part of God. And so we can tap into our divine sense, ourselves, and escape our negativity, our negative emotions, our experiences, our bad energies through meditation, through self-help. Buddhism says that we can all reach enlightenment with the right amount of help, with the right amount of guidance. Most religions will say that as long as, you know, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you know, you'll reach the end of the line. You'll reach God. You'll reach heaven, whatever heaven means. Christ says the only way into the kingdom of God is to know the Father. I mean, you're not getting into the in the White House because you say you know someone in the White House. You won't get in the White House because someone in the White House will allow you to enter in. The same way, the only way into the kingdom of God is to know the Father, who is the only one who knows the Father. It's Jesus. And therefore, Jesus is essentially saying, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Christianity says, you can't save yourself. You can't attain peace through your own efforts. You won't arrive at heaven by being good enough or with enough positive thinking. The Bible says that we have been justified by faith. And because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that you and I just need a little help. No, we need the sovereign grace of the God who made us. You were made to know your Creator. You were made to know your Heavenly Father, but your sin separates you. Your hearts of stone refuses to turn from your sin, to change course from trusting in your own wisdom. Jesus says the only way a sinner can know the Father is if I choose to reveal the Father to them. Wow. How much clearer can you be on the sovereign election of God? Maybe Matthew was a Calvinist and he just kind of put it in there. No, not the case. Course, this is the point. Who Jesus reveals the Father to is also in agreement with the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one. One in divinity, one in purpose. So Jesus uses this type of language throughout the Gospels. John chapter 10 says this, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus knows who belong to him and those who do not belong to him. If you remember, Jesus spotted Judas's unbelief a mile away, multiple times. Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Judas's betrayal was no surprise to him. But he also recognizes who are his redeemed. Remember Zacchaeus, when he saw him sitting on top of a sycamore tree, and Jesus went into his house and declared, today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So Jesus is not just some navigator to point you in the right direction. No, he is not just a guide. He is the revealer. He is the one who opened your eyes. He is the one who has the authority to pour out mercy upon you. As a result of saying all this, perhaps the questions we may have is, how do I know if Jesus has revealed the Father to me? Let me ask you, do you love Jesus? Do you believe him to be the Son of God who has taken away your sin? Do you believe that the judgment you deserve fell upon God's only Son that you may be spared? Do you believe that Christ lived the perfect life in your place because your good works will never get you into heaven? When you hear the gospel, does it harden your heart with bitterness or apathy? Or does it make you want to serve him? You cannot love the gospel unless the Son of God first opened your eyes to see the amazing grace you have received. To him we all cherish amazing grace. It says, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The same Jesus who is the sovereign Redeemer who opened your eyes is the same Jesus who invites you into His rest, into His grace, which we'll cover next time, Lord willing. The same Jesus who is both willing and able to guard and preserve your weak faith. His grace is not lacking. His heart is willing because you are His child by faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at how sovereign You are, Lord, over every single event of our life. And Father, regardless of how we have arrived, wherever we are spiritually, this truth still is powerful. This truth still is true, Lord, that You are our sovereign Redeemer. Lord, that You care for Your children, and there is nothing that will happen outside of Your will, outside of Your control. Father, Your grace is amazing. Help us to think on that and believe on it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.